Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we are so glad that you are with us today.
I want to tell you that I love being a part of Cowboy Church.
I do too, Russ.
Why do you like Cowboy Church?
I love the cards and letters and the emails that we get from people that say, I don't get to go to church.
Yeah.
I'm too far out. We have cattle to feed. I'm not really a believer, but I sure like that, you know?
You know the thing I like about it?
What?
Is I'm thinking about heaven someday, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to the age where I'm seeing the edge of the ocean.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it'd be heaven if we didn't have our kind of people there.
Right.
And I think that's what Cowboy Church is all about, is trying to challenge our people to make a commitment to live for God. That's why we have Cowboy Church. We need you right here on Cowboy Church on RFD. Don't go away. We're going to have a church service.
Here we come.
Hey, last year we had the privilege of filming Nail 32. It's a full-length feature movie about my dad and the principles that my dad lived by. One of the things that the movie challenges us to is discipleship. We've developed a 13-week foundational fundamentals for the long, long ride that will help you in your own personal discipleship. And the best part is, as you reach out to other people, they will have something that you can put in their hand that will assist them with their own personal Bible study and the beginning of their walk with God. You can get the Bible study with the film for $14.99. The movie and the Bible study, It's a Long, Long Ride, are available at the webpage you see below, or those of you who like to use the phone, I know, just call us. Give us a call and request Nail 32 with the Bible study guide, and it'll be yours for $14.99. As my mom always said, together we can change the world. One person at a time. May God bless you.
Some of you may have come here this morning with a lot of burdens on your heart. This is your invitation.
Lay down your burdens. I will carry you. I will carry you, my child. Lay down your burdens, I will carry you, I will carry you, my child, I can walk on water, calm a restless sea, I've done a thousand things you've never done, and I'm weary watching while you struggle. Lay down your burdens, I will carry you, I will carry you, my child, lay down your burdens, I will carry you, I will carry you, my child, I give vision to the blind, and I can raise the dead. I've seen a thousand things you've never done. I'm weary watching while you struggle on your own. Just call my name.
Father, we love you this morning. Father, I know these people have been under some stress. I know they've had some heartache. But Lord, I ask you right now to meet each one in their places as they are this morning. I ask you, Lord, to help them to open up their hearts and open it wide for you to come in and touch their lives this morning.
Lay down your burdens. I will carry you. I will carry you, my child, lay down your burdens, I will carry you, I will carry you.
We've got a brand new album out. It's called Passages. It's back there at the back of the room. And it's got quite a mixture of different songs that I've loved over the years and a few ones that I've just come in contact with. And I'm going to put my cheat sheet right here so everybody knows I have got a cheat sheet, okay? But I'm going to do my dead level best not to look at it. All right? You keep me to that. I love your smile. And if I get a little bit lost up here, I'm looking for you to smile at me. What's his name? Rodney? Rocky? I see that right there. I see it. You're flexing it. I see it. So anyway, Passages was selected to be the title of this new album because my life has taken several different passages in the last few years. I was in a very abusive marriage for 26 years. I raised 3 children on the rodeo circuit mostly, but in ministry. So I know what it's like to stand up in front of a lot of people after having a knockdown drag out in the trailer or in the camper or in the car or in the hotel, and then coming into church and trying to be okay. I know what it's like to be beaten. I know what it's like to see my children beaten. I know and unmercifully unreasonable with things in our life. I know what that's like. But now a passage has taken me in a different direction, and I never thought that I would do what I did, but I filed for divorce. And my life has taken on a new direction, and I have never experienced marriage like it is today. And I am so thankful to God for His forgiveness, for me not standing up for myself and for my kids, and to take a different pathway to life. And I am not here condoning divorce, so don't say that. I'm not here saying you should go divorce. I think you should get a lot of help. But if that will not do it, you have got to take some drastic measures to protect you and your children. And that just does, I'm not just talking to women, I'm talking to men too, because us women can be just as abusive. Amen, men? You can say amen if you want to. I'll protect you. Now this is what I call good country music right here. Come on, put your hands together with me, would you? I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. And I'm gonna grow and glow till I'm blue, pure and perfect. I'm gonna put a smile on everybody's face. Lest I should become vain along the way. I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. How many of y'all think of yourself as an old chunk of coal? A little rough around the edges, kind of blurt out things when you shouldn't, get people a little messy, you know, a little cloud follows you all the time. Yeah, there's some of you. How many of y'all think of yourself as a diamond? You're spit polished, everything comes out right, everything's wonderful, hat shaped just right. There you go, there's one. Okay, for all of you who have lied previously, how many of y'all think you're in transition from a chunk of coal to a diamond? Huh? Yeah, I think that would be probably more appropriate. I know that y'all have heard this song by John Anderson, so I want you to sing it with me on the last. Come on, put your hands together. I'm gonna learn the right words to talk. I'm gonna search and find a better way to walk. Spit and polish my rough-edged self till I get rid of every single flaw. And I'm gonna be the world's best friend. I'm gonna go around shaking everybody's head. I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
Would you stand up with me, shake 2 or 3 hands, find somebody you don't know, introduce yourself, invite them over for supper.
shaking everybody's hand. I'm just an old chunk of old down low, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm just an old chunk of old just an old chunk of coal now, Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
Welcome to Sycamore Creek Family Ranch. Sycamore Creek Family Ranch is a beautiful and serene 245-acre family getaway in the heart of the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri. Mike and Lisa Button, along with their incredible team, believe families are worth fighting for and are doing their best to provide wholesome activities and experiences that strengthen family bonds. In addition to seasonal festivals, barn dances, and more, Sycamore Creek Family Ranch is also a uniquely stunning stage for your wedding ceremony, reception, or private event. To book your next event, call Sycamore Creek Family Ranch at 417-593-9628 or visit our website at www.sycamorecreekfamilyranch.com.
I'm doing a series on Occupy Till I Come. Occupy is do business. The business principles that are supposed to be able to help us do the business that we do for a living. It's basically this. How do we worship God in the business that we're working in our occupation and in our profession? How do we worship God? Colossians 3, 1 through 2. If you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. And I know that there's a comma there, but I want to stop. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to learn today about what focus is. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Foundations of focus. Let's roll through these pretty quick. If you're going to attempt to do or be or perfect or anything, there's that first time you try something, right? You got to try something. The first time you try something, you don't have a business plan. You don't have an idea. You don't have any goals set. You just think, well, that looks fun. I'd like to try that. Of course, I always think in terms of the things that I understand is roping. The first time a guy picks a rope up is because he has a friend that has a rope and we're just messing around roping a dummy or whatever. He thinks, you know what? Let me see if I can do that. It's an experiment. Let me see. And so we listen, and the very first thing that the person explains to you so that you'll have success in throwing your rope on this rope and dummy is a thing called fundamentals or foundation. The first thing he's going to try is to develop your thoughts so your thoughts help you do what you're going to attempt to do here in a second. They're fundamentals. They're anchors, they're foundation, they're roots and fundamentals. So where's your focus? Immediately, if you've ever tried to, how many of you have ever tried to throw a rope at a dummy, catch it? See, there's no problem. It's easy to throw a rope at a dummy. What's really hard is to keep your loop open so that it can catch. Because ropes don't have any, they don't have any structure hardly. They're just kind of, they just respond to the whims of whoever's hand is on there. And
It's always amazing to me to watch Will Rogers. You ever watch Will Rogers? He does this. He doesn't even have a hold of the loop. He's got the tail of it, and he's just... And the loop is doing all kinds of things. He come to him, he jump through it, and he just up and down, back and forth. And then, the most amazing thing I ever saw him do, he's doing this whip around, and a horse comes galloping by, and he turns around, ropes a horse around the neck, and the eight, as it comes around, ropes a horse around the front feet without holding the loop. He's trick roping as the horse goes by and does that all just holding the stem of that thing. So my first question is, how did you do that? How did he do that? My mind begins to calculate these scientific calculations that... And I try to think and figure out how he does it. And when I do, and I haven't, by the way, but whoever has, what they do, they run into a foundation or fundamental or a skill set or something that allows them the ability to do what they do. The first time you sit down to play the piano. Have you ever tried that? How many of your mom gave you piano lessons when you were a kid? Yep. I notice you're not volunteering to take Toby's place. The first thing they do is they help you identify where middle C is. It's the middle of the whole keyboard. It's the one just to the left of the two black keys. Middle C. And then you go... Okay, that's really nice, but how does he do all that? I think praises to you, blah, 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 blah. What? There are fundamentals involved. There's foundational things involved. All of these, and life gets so complicated. But the most important thing is, where is his focus? What does he think about? What does he think about? How does he know what's going on? How does he get to where he's going? When we ask these questions, we're asking, what are these fundamentals? What are these roots? What are these what is he doing? There's always focus before strategy. And here's the reason why. Focus and foundation and fundamentals are the things that hold us together. The fundamentals hold us together. No matter what you're attempting, fundamentals of whatever you're attempting are the things that hold us together. Let's go through these real quickly. Things that keep us upright, on course, in time. And notice I have in time. That's not a mistake. It's not on time. It's in time. If you're playing music, they have four beats to the measure. You better know which beat there are on at any one given time, or you don't even know when to come in. Fundamentals. It's a thing that keeps us in time or from damaging extremes. Fundamentals. It's a thing that allow our passions their proper expression and operation. Things that allow us to stay balanced in an extreme world. It's things that give nutrition. I love this sentence. This is my favorite sentence. I'm coming back to this at the end of the message. Things that give nutrition to ideas, to talents, to commitments, and long-term solutions. Of course, in my life, I'm thinking about leather. I like to do leather. My dad had some leather tools. So when he passed away, I got the tools. So I'm trying to figure out how to do these tools, you know, the tooling stuff. Because I remember way back, Dad showed me some things. So I go back in there and I start playing with it. And lo and behold, it looks pretty nice. Yeah. So I put a saddle shop together. I don't want a job making saddles. My focus was on certain parts of that. I'm not building a strategy for a company or anything like that. I want to be able to do with leather what I want it to do because I like to do that. It's not a job. It's a thing that relaxes my mind. I don't want to turn it into a job. But so my strategy is, this is for me. It's not for everybody else, but in the process, I end up doing things for everybody else, so it doesn't matter. Things that give nutrition to ideas. What is nutrition to ideas? Do you realize if you will focus on something and study something and learn it and figure it out and practice it and do, it won't be long until you come up with an idea. Hey, you know what? If I put this over here, wow, look what that does. It'll give nutrition to those ideas, those thoughts. It's an amazing thing. Those foundational things are so important. Let's roll on here. We're going to do some spiritual thinking in here. If you notice in that scripture, it talks about our foundation and focus on our thinking. It needs to be from a correct perspective. As Christians, we don't just try out this Christian business to see if it's okay. What we do is we realize that the only way to get to heaven is to become a Christian, so maybe we should try that, right? How many of you got saved because of that? How many of you are afraid you'd go to hell without it, and that helped you get saved, yeah? How many of you just came in and experienced God and thought, you know what, this is what I'm looking for? Yeah, there's a plethora of reasons, but when we get into this, it doesn't matter where you started or how you started. What matters is what you do with it now. So the very first thing that should happen in a Christian's experience is he needs to learn to think from a Christian's perspective. A Christian's perspective is this: it's a crucified position. And what that means is that Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sins. I got that. I get that. But the Bible talks about us being crucified with him. And so, whoa, wait a minute. You didn't realize it was going to cost me thorns on my head and spikes in my hands and feet. No, I'm not talking about that. Our carnal body needs to get in line. Our thinking needs to come in line with the thinking of Christ. And it's crucified because my flesh doesn't want to do that. Paul said like this, he said, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. Things I don't want to do, I find myself doing, and I hate myself because of that. Well, he described modern-day depression. And so what we do, what we're supposed to do, is take ourselves from a crucified position. Paul said, I die daily. What he says is, I take charge of my sinful nature every day through the blood of Jesus Christ, through connecting with Christ Jesus. I begin to focus on the things I'm supposed to focus on, and I think about living the way I'm supposed to live. It didn't say that because of that, every day he was going to be absolutely perfect. What he said was, I start living the way that I'm supposed to live, and I get it from a perspective of a crucified perspective. Now, here's the other thing. It's not how does God feel about this. It's just what does God say about this? Because this walk of faith has to do with us being obedient to him. We know how God feels. The Bible says he loves you. He has this emotional attachment to you. It's wonderful. You know, some of you have kids that think you're great. And your kids are such knuckleheads, they're out of control. That's not a good relationship. There's some of you who have kids that think you're a tyrant, but yeah, they're mannerly and they're productive. That's a better one. But the very best is for your kids to adore you because you know how to lay down boundaries in such a manner that it gives them a perspective of peace and contentment, and you bless them by giving them manners and all of the things that go with it. But sometimes you have to draw a line. See, that's the perfect deal. Now, how does God feel? That's not the right perspective. What does God want us to do? What does God say about it? That's the relationship that's right. Because what happens is this. From the crucified position is, it's not about me. My flesh has been crucified. I don't have an iPhone because I'm important. I have an iPhone because I need this to do what God wants me to do. This is a tool. This doesn't run me, I run it. See the difference? From a crucified position, we're under God's authority, so the things that we use, the things that we have, are tools for us to be effective for the kingdom of God. Instead of, I deserve this. I worked, ooh, selfie.